Are we under martial law? With the National Guard rolling out troops and Humvees across our nation's capital, it's a question worth asking. So what is martial law? Well, when it's declared, it's the complete suspension of all local laws, civil authority, and local judiciaries. The commanding officer substitutes temporary laws and military tribunals. The military commander has virtually unlimited authority to govern an area. Surprisingly, the Constitution doesn't define nor does it specify who can declare martial law. Despite this, federal and state governments have declared martial law more than 60 times throughout our nation's history. In fact, the Supreme Court has held that states can declare martial law, but has never said that a president can. This gray area leaves us with a not-so-concrete answer on the who, what, where, when, why, and how of martial law. We have some idea of how the Supreme Court would rein in martial law through their 1952 ruling in Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer. It outlines a framework for analyzing exercises of executive power, one that would most likely be used by a court to determine whether a president's martial law declaration exceeded executive authority. So to answer the opening question, we're not under martial law technically, but you might call it soft martial law. Although the National Guard has a time and place to be used, President Trump invoking it for a crime spree that isn't happening or to create some immigration dragnet is as capricious as it is frightening. The National Guard is a unique part of the armed forces. It contains the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard, and both are U.S. military reserve components. It's run by the National Guard Bureau, and its head is a four-star general and member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The National Guard can perform both state and federal functions, and although it usually only responds to state-level emergencies, it can and has been deployed on overseas missions. The Guard is usually activated and commanded by governors, but presidents can federalize the Guard, even without the governor's consent, in certain situations. We saw Trump do this in response to immigration protests in Los Angeles this past June. This was the first time in 60 years that the president deployed troops without that state's governor's approval. This happened last under President Lyndon B. Johnson in 1965 in regards to civil rights activities in Alabama. The Guard is used in a variety of ways. It can be used for border security. There's nearly 4,000 National Guard troops deployed along the U.S.-Mexico border. Some are on a federal mission initiated by the president, while others are there at the discretion of their governor. The Guard is used as military support, as mentioned earlier. They've been sent to Afghanistan. They've also been used in the Russian-Ukraine conflict. The Guard has been used in nearly every U.S. conflict since the Revolutionary War, and more than 20,000 Guardsmen are deployed around the world on any given day. And of course, they've been used at times for law enforcement. Think about the Minneapolis riots regarding George Floyd or the January 6th protest. When the Guard is federalized, the troops are typically prohibited from carrying out law enforcement functions. However, Trump took control of Washington, D.C.'s police department when he sent in the National Guard. He did so by activating Section 740 of the Home Rule Act, which was originally passed by Congress in 1973. Now, even though this gives the president some wiggle room to exert his authority, despite it being a bad idea, it will likely raise legal and constitutional questions as he expands to 19 states. Once he is operating outside the Home Rule Act in Washington, D.C., Trump may find himself violating the Posse Comitatus Act. And this is where things get interesting and ambiguous. The Posse Comitatus Act consists of just one sentence. It says, quote, "Whoever, except in cases and under circumstances expressly authorized by the Constitution or Act of Congress, willfully uses any part of the Army or the Air Force as a posse comitatus or otherwise to execute the laws, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both." Now, one exception to this Posse Comitatus Act is the Insurrection Act, which allows the president to suppress an insurrection by deploying the military. This also allows for the military to step in and protect civil rights when the state government can't or won't. Now, the Department of Defense claims that constitutional exceptions to the Posse Comitatus Act exist that clearly don't. They have long claimed that the Constitution implicitly gives military commanders emergency authority to unilaterally use federal troops to quell large-scale, unexpected civil disturbances when doing so is necessary and prior authorization by the president is impossible. In the past, the department also claimed an inherent constitutional power to use the military to protect federal property and functions when local governments could not or would not do so. The validity of these claimed authorities has never been tested in court. The Department of Justice has also held that the D.C. Guard can operate in a non-federal militia status in which it is not covered by the Posse Comitatus Act, By this interpretation, presidents can use the D.C. Guard for law enforcement whenever they choose. The second possible exception to supersede the Posse Comitatus Act is known as Title 32 status. This law allows the National Guard to operate in between state and federal operations. Although the Guard is paid with federal funds, the president can request specific missions, and the National Guard remains under state control. Therefore, some contend the National Guard is not subject to the Posse Comitatus Act. So, soft martial law has arrived in America. We've got military Humvees rolling down the streets of D.C., and no one is really batting an eye, except that Subway sandwich guy. Now, on a side note, if we're going to pardon all January 6 protesters that broke into the Capitol, then perhaps Subway guys should be let off the hook, too. While the right is celebrating it as law and order, what they're missing is this is the opposite of limited government. Last I checked, deploying the military in the nation's capital is an expansion of government force and rule. Washington, D.C. is home to more than 700,000 people and is the 22nd largest city in the United States. This is a large-scale invasion of military into a city. Explain how this is any different from Governor Tim Walz using the National Guard to patrol the streets during COVID. Both Walz and Trump are using the Guard to scare Americans. They're both claiming a threat that doesn't exist and then backing it up with guns and the military. The sad thing is, MAGA is embracing this. You see, one of those 19 states is my home state of Ohio, and the biggest political boob to ever exist, Vivek Ramaswamy, is fully endorsing this D.C. takeover method and wants it to spread to other American cities. Why should we care what this feckless and failed presidential candidate thinks? Well, he's running for governor here in Ohio, and that means we could look forward to at least 4 years of military personnel in the streets and 4 years of him capitulating to whatever Trump wants. We won't have a governor, we'll have a brown noser who was governor in name only. It will be whatever Trump wants. Take a listen to Vivek tweaking over how great the military invading our state is.
I think that all of us should take Trump's DC plan national down to the states and to the municipalities. He's doing his job, Jesse. And you think about this, the criticisms against President Trump was that somehow he's doing something wrong by cleaning up Washington, D.C. It's actually the other way around. It is the federal government's constitutionally ordained responsibility to take care of Washington, D.C.
Now, this is dangerous thinking, because once you start invoking the military, it can get out of control real fast. You may say, well, crime is a problem, and we need to crack down on immigration. Well, you might want to think again. I'm not going to digress too long on what is clearly misinformation on crime. You see, Washington's crime rate is down this year compared to 2024. Violent crimes are 26% lower than last year. Homicides are down 12%, according to statistics compiled by the Metropolitan Police Department. And let's not forget that utilizing the military to sweep cities for illegal immigrants is as insane as it is tyrannical. You don't know someone is illegal until you see their papers. But what I will impress on you, what I think is most convincing and most frightening, is that the government is the master in utilizing the bowling frog theory. You see, they first convinced you that crime was up and immigrants needed to be dragged out of the streets. Feel about that how you will, but rolling out the military? Seriously? That's quite a show of force. But maybe people said it's okay, it will get cleaned up quickly and be more efficient. But it wasn't just adding the National Guard. Trump took control of the D.C. Metro Police. Then he ordered the National Guard to carry weapons while patrolling the streets. Now they're expanding to 19 states. See where this is going? It's looking a lot like 2 weeks to slow the curve. But it gets even worse. You see, Trump has indicated that at the end of his 30-day reign, by invoking that home rule, that he may just leave the Guard there if he doesn't think the job is done. Indefinitely. And he would do so by invoking a national emergency. Take a listen.
Well, I don't know if there is a deadline, because if I declare a national emergency, which this was, that ends the deadline. So, I mean, I keep seeing about a 30-day deadline, of which we have 22 days left or something. But if I think we're in great shape here, that's one thing. But if I don't, I'm going to just say it's a national emergency. And if I have a national emergency, I can keep the troops there as long as I want. If people are not going to want to have the troops in 30 days. You know, it's one thing to get them out. It's another thing to keep them out for a long period of time.
For a man who wants to go to heaven, he might try considering the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. This is a man who still complains about the FBI raiding Mar-a-Lago. It's funny how violating someone's civil liberties in the name of security is okay, as long as it's not your liberties. As Benjamin Franklin once said, he who would trade liberty for some temporary security deserves neither liberty nor security.